Educate, encourage, empower, equip with the Suso Podcast.
Welcome to Way Beyond Measure's Suso Podcast, where we educate, encourage, empower, and equip you to stand up and stand out. You can follow us on LinkedIn at hashtag Way Beyond Measure and online at waybeyondmeasure.com to gain access to free video sample packs and other resources, along with links to all social media platforms that we engage on. This is episode number 3 of our effort to more closely journey with parents and kids worldwide and bring awareness to mental health, anti-bullying, and suicide prevention, to name a few. Let's go ahead and get started with today's Way Beyond Measure Minute with Coach Verdue.
Hey guys, Coach Verdue here with your Way Beyond Measure Minute. I want to talk to you about investment. What is it that you have been investing in? So for instance, a lot of people, the very first thing they think of when we talk about investment is money. Well, if I invest in this, then by this time, I should have about this much. And you invest, and you hope that it works out for the best. What about investing in you? Ooh, investing in you. You heard me. So if I invest in me, where's it going to put me in 30 days? Where am I going to be when my investment comes to fruit? Well, I won't be where I was because I had invested in myself to be somewhere where I want to be. Invested in yourself. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself to make yourself better so those people around you can enjoy your joy. Well, that's about it for today. I'm Coach Verdue, and that is your Way Beyond Measure Minute.
Suso Ambassador is someone we believe is modeling the concept of stand up, stand out, and living a life way beyond measure. Today on Suso Ambassador, we're joined by Acacia Wall, who is my incredible 11-year-old daughter, a fifth grader here in Michigan, and pretty darn smart. She's about an A-minus GPA and has a very high emotional IQ, if I must say so myself, being a counselor and all. She was actually born in the Dominican Republic, has lived in 4 different countries, Panama, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, and the U.S., and is an amazing artist with some really impressive natural ability that she spends a lot of free time developing. She ultimately dreams of working with animals, being a YouTuber like every other kid in America, or being a paranormal investigator. We both love watching ghost adventures together, so this is very much of interest of ours that's developed in her. Acacia has an orange belt in Tung Sudo, enjoys all things video games, loves anime, journaling, and being quite the social butterfly with her friends. In her free time, she sleeps a lot and goes out of her way to avoid having to watch her 3-year-old sister or do anything really to earn her allowance. No, but seriously, she's an amazing kid that I absolutely adore and am blessed to be her dad. Welcome to the show, Acacia.
Hi.
I haven't called you Acacia in a long time. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you usually call me like Acacia or something.
Or what's mom call you?
Wumpy.
Wumpy.
Wumpus. She usually calls me Grumpus.
Mom's good with nicknames. That kind of runs in her family. It's I don't know. We oftentimes joke because I'm not sure why mom, her family actually gives birth names because they never use them. So I mentioned to you that we do, kind of 4 or 5 questions, just generally to get to know our guest. And you came up with a really good idea. I have these questions that I use in counseling, and it's a big box of them. And you grabbed those and pulled out a couple that you were interested in. So I thought it was a good idea, too. So let's jump into these questions that you selected. I want to know more about your thoughts.
Yeah, give me your best shot.
All right. Here we go. So, Kaish, if you had the power to rid the world of drugs, would you do it?
That's kind of a tough one. I don't think I would because, well, can I get rid of certain kinds?
It's your question. It just says if you had the power to rid the world of drugs, and I think that means all, would you do it? So I'm not sure if they mean illegal or legal drugs.
Well, I mean, a lot of different types of drugs can help people in a big way and also pretty much ruin their lives, which you've experienced that yourself.
Yeah.
Like, they help mom a lot.
Absolutely.
So I don't think I would.
Yeah, there's two sides of it, because some are really helpful and some are not so helpful. Although we know, I talk about mental health and addiction and general wellness and stuff all the time, being a counselor, and, yeah, and you live with me, so you get to hear that all the time. But the, you know, anything in excess we know is not good for you, right? Even exercise in excess can have adverse effects on the body. So that is a really interesting question, in that some stuff, the legal stuff, can be helpful, and in some ways can be not so helpful, can be destructive, right? Most, you know, I've told you a lot, like Xanax and a lot of these other meds kind of eat away at your liver. So there's there's some kind of trade-off there to find the happy balance and what you need to do to be the best you. But, you know, with my own experience, you know, my past with addiction and being in recovery, and I'm a completely different guy now than I was back then. And, you know, using what I was using, drinking and drugs in excess, that really destroyed so much of who I was as a person and kind of screwed up a lot of who I needed to be for you.
Yeah, I believe you've, like, changed a lot since you've stopped drinking and drugs.
Yeah.
You think I've changed?
I think I notice more about you, and I think we have a better relationship and we're closer, and I think I love you better, you know? I think yeah. I feel more, and I like me now way more than I did before.
I literally just asked you that so I can say this. I didn't change. I grew up. You should try it sometime.
I like that.
Dab.
Drop the mic.
I've been waiting forever to say that to someone. I've been you holding set me that up. For years.
Brat. All right. So is it worse to pretend to love someone you don't, or to honestly love someone you shouldn't?
Oh, well, it's a really hard one.
That is a tough one. What in the world did you pick that one for? You set yourself up on that one.
I think it's worse to love someone you don't, because there's no law against loving a criminal.
Yeah.
Love who you want to love.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Jesus and what he teaches and loving everyone equally, and that's tough to do because we're people, and we're going to have judgment about others. It's just the way life is, and that's something we have to filter out and be careful with when we're loving other people, to love them the best we can, right? But I agree with you, honey, because it's like love is kind of a God thing. It's kind of a power. Like, love is pretty powerful, right? It's pretty big. And to fake that with someone and to not be sincere with that, I think is doing them a disservice, and I think it's unfair and it's unkind, and I don't think it's right. I think that love should be handed out genuinely and sincerely and authentically, and when you love someone, I think you should do it with all you got, every bit of your soul, 100%.
Yeah.
I like that question. If you were offered the power to live a perfectly virtuous life, would you take it?
No. Because if you were perfect at every virtue, then you would never make mistakes. And if you never made mistakes, one, you would not need a God to protect you and help you with this stuff. And two, because a lot of mistakes teach us very valuable things in life.
That's solid. Wow.
I'm beautiful.
I cannot. That's really good, honey. Wow, that's good, Keish. I think I agree. With my own past, Dad and just the past with addiction and stuff, it really screwed up a lot of stuff. but I learned a lot from it, you know? Like, I gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom, and I know that beyond a doubt, I am who I am today because of a lot of the stuff I went through from my own silly decisions, my own selfish decisions, I should say. And thankfully, I've come around, and with God's help and a lot of people that love me, been able to get to where I am today and love the right way. But yeah, how boring would it be to be perfect and never make mistakes? That's part of the adventure, isn't it?
You would definitely have, you would never have anything that you really wanted, because you wouldn't want anything because you had everything.
Yeah, what would that be like? Just, you don't want anything, everything's okay, everything's fine, everything's perfect. I'm not sure I like that. I like to struggle, I like to figure things out, I like to fix things that are broke. I like, you know, I guess that's kind of the counselor in me, but I like that adventure, you know, that's sort of fun. All right, your next selected question here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is good too. If you found out that the company you worked for was cheating the government, would you blow the whistle?
We better. A part of me says I would, because a lot of people could lose their jobs that way and they wouldn't be able to support their families. But another part of me says I would probably see how long they could keep it up before the government caught them. Because I know I've done that before, and personally, I think I'm pretty good at it.
You think you're good at hiding and manipulating?
Yep.
Well, you're not very good at it because you just told me. So you're busted.
There's nothing I'm trying to hide.
So would you keep working for the company even though you know that they're cheating the government?
No, I'd quit.
You'd quit.
Suckers!
They'd lose a good one in you for sure. But you would not blow the whistle because you'd be afraid of other people that would lose their job and how that would affect their families and stuff.
Yeah, it would definitely affect them in a very big way. And one small mess up with life, like, the stock market's a crazy place.
Okay. You're a financial planner now?
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
No, that's a tough one. I think probably I would, I think I probably would let some of those that I'm closest to in the company know that what I'm finding, and I probably would consult with them on what they thought would be the best, at least so they have a heads up. So if they want to start looking for a job, you know, kind of one of those things like, hey, I think this might get busted soon. Like, might want to get your resume together and be careful.
And better get your paycheck soon. Ask for a raise because you need it.
I've definitely found that through time, you run all you want, but eventually, I'm convinced, everybody gets caught. I really believe that. Even when Dad did drugs and a lot of hung out with a lot of folks in that scene, I rarely ran across a drug dealer that didn't have a criminal record. You know, it's like, you deal drugs and eventually you're going to get caught for dealing drugs, right?
I bet you could go to about anyone in this world at this time has a criminal record. I bet you could go to like a church and they'd still have something on their criminal record.
Yeah, I don't know about a whole lot of people, but yeah, I agree with you. I think there's probably
maybe like shoplifting a penny or something.
It's not odd to find someone in a setting like a church with a criminal record, because we're all flawed by nature and we make mistakes and you get caught for those mistakes, and what you do with that's really key. You know, I'm always kind of preaching that to you too, but it's not about, you can't avoid setbacks and failures and defeats and things like that. But you can decide what you're going to do with it, what you're going to pick up from it, you know, the knowledge and the wisdom as you move forward. So that's a tough one. I need to screen these questions next time.
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
I need to look at them first.
Oh.
Go, Cage, no, we don't want to ask that question. No, these are good. I'm proud of you. All right, so which virtue is the most difficult to keep?
Probably for me, self-control, because a lot of times I seem super chill, but a lot of times in my brain I'm like racing thoughts all the time. I can't get my mind to stay still for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
me having anxiety and ADHD.
Yeah, those are, is that tough to manage, like, daily for you?
Not that much. I mean, it's usually, like, during tests and stuff.
Yeah. Where you're worried about, like, performance, like, what, how you're going to do, or...
Yeah, or,
what
like, the accidentally saying the wrong thing.
Like, when you're with your friends and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to hurt someone, it gives me anxiety.
Because you'll blurt something out and be like, oh, I didn't mean to say that, that was really mean.
Yeah, and then I don't catch myself when I end up hurting someone a lot.
Yeah.
I think we've all done that at least once or twice in our life.
Without doubt, sweetie. Yeah. What do you do afterwards?
I usually just say sorry and try to take my meds more often.
Taking meds consistently that help is difficult. It's a burden, right?
Yeah.
So I know they help you, and so I try to help you remember to take those, and I do see a difference when you do, but I'm really proud of you for saying that, you know, you go back and say sorry, because that's relationships,
well, that's
you know?
That's just the right thing to do.
It is.
Even if, really is. Like, even if they kind of, you think they deserved it, I mean, it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it is. That's how you take good care of people. It's about relationships. Life's about relationships. And so if you care about those people in your life, you're going to, even when you slip up and you say something stupid, you're going to make a point to go back and make it right with them and let them know, like, hey, you know, that was really stupid what I said, and I shouldn't have said it, and I'm sorry, and I wish I could take it back, but I can't, and I want to make it right with you. And I'm not sure how to do that. So can you give me some grace here, and where do we go from here?
Yeah, hopefully you have a friend that's forgiving. Dang, I sound really smart right now.
You are smart. What are you talking about, honey? You really are, Keisha. I mentioned in the
intro.
Yeah, the intro. You like intro, outro, don't you?
Yeah.
So I said in the intro that you have a high emotional IQ. You know, when Acacia lost her biological mom to cancer when she was about 3, going into 4, and really difficult time. We were married for almost 14 years, and Keish knew of her, but really didn't get a chance to get to know her as well as she deserved to, because she passed away from cancer. And Keish went through a really difficult time when she was younger, and been to see a lot of counselors. You know, me being a counselor, I believe in that as a support, and so I've engaged her in counseling throughout her life, and she's become very versed on counseling topics, being around me and then being in counseling. And also, I have been told, I cannot tell you how many times, hon, I've been told that you have an incredibly high emotional IQ. And that is one thing they're finding in research, actually, is the sign of a genuine, true, effective leader. They have self-awareness, they have self-management, they have social awareness, and they have relationship management. And those four things create the personality aspects of the perfect leader. And so having a high emotional IQ is way more valuable in our world nowadays than having just a high IQ, knowing, you know, rocket science or something. Like, knowing people and understanding people and understanding emotion and how to deal with them is incredibly invaluable. And it's just amazing watching you develop and watching you grow and watching you learn so much about yourself and others. And I know you act like you don't listen to me sometimes, but I know you are listening and you pick up things because we're talking now.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing a lot of it come out, and I can't tell you how incredibly proud I am of you and how much of an honor, honestly. And I'm not just saying this because of the podcast. I am absolutely pumped to be your dad. I think it's awesome. It's so much fun. It can be frustrating, but those are the times that really test me as an individual, and I get to grow too. So I can't say enough about you. I love you. I adore you. I think you're incredible. I think you're amazing. I think you're a woman warrior to be reckoned with, and you've been through so much, and you are a survivor and an inspiration to me. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. And I always thought it was like kind of funny and weird that like I go to counseling, but you're a counselor. It doesn't really make any sense. I mean, I'm not mad about it, but it doesn't make sense.
I mean, I'm not mad about it, but It's hard, honey. It's hard to counsel those that you're closest with because I have an emotional attachment to you. So it's really hard for me to stay objective, which means just step back and look at the situation and really
look at the big picture.
Yeah, and guide you through because I'm emotionally connected to you. So that's why we have counselors. They always say if you're in counseling, don't counsel family. Don't advise family, you know, in that way, because it never comes out right, because there's always some emotional tie into it that is not fair for you. And so for you to get the best, most objective, most effective guidance in your life, it needs to be someone that's on the outside that's not emotionally connected. So that's why I do that.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense now.
Thanks for being on the show. I love you.
I love you too. Totally glad to be here. Do it anytime.
Coach on the Couch is next, and a great opportunity to hear from listeners that write in with questions for Coach related to really just living life and how to stand up and stand out in various situations. Coach, I am curious what you got for us in email today, man.
Hey, man, this one comes all the way from California, and
what?
It's a question that I'm going to need help with.
All right.
I mean, I know what to do and I know what to say, but how do we convince them? How do I say no to drugs when they're everywhere?
Yeah, right.
I remember in eighth grade when the first person came by and I saw a baggie. I got terrified. Dude, I was like, wow. I freaked out. It's a very interesting experience that you have to go through. I think the very first stance that you take is going to be how powerful you can be the next time. So for instance, if it's a very hesitant, but if it's a strong no, if it's a strong, I need to be somewhere in a place, because I don't think it's going to happen just one time. It's going to be over and over again. You have got to put yourself in such a good place in your heart and your mind that you know exactly where you're going, and none of that stuff is in the plans. Because it will stop you. It will stop your plans. It will take you in a new direction. And so that's what I got. How do you stop, or how do you say no, Brian?
You know what? That's a great question. You just shared that whole process started for you, seeing that first baggie. And I was thinking back on my own experience. And one thing that I am really firm on, and my family and the clients I deal with and just doing counseling, is that have conversations before they need to be had, right? I try to educate my girls constantly on mental health and addiction and my past and my struggles and how it affected me. And I think these are good conversations when you're hanging out with your best friend. Like, you guys should be asking each other, like having conversations about like, yeah, what do you think about drugs? You know, this is going to pop up at some point. If we're together, how are we going to handle that? How are we going to have each other's back? You know, prepare for that. And I think that that'll help when that moment comes to feel more confident in doing what's right and not leading yourself down a path you don't want to go.
That's awesome. Make it a great day, Brian.
You got it, man. If you'd like to submit a question for Coach to answer on air, you can do so by emailing at coachverdu@waybeyondmeasure.com. That's Coach, V as in victory, E-R-D-U @waybeyondmeasure.com.
That brings us to Final Thoughts with B-Rai, and this week's encouragement is brought to you by Maya Angelou, who said, "We may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated." Encountering defeats and being defeated are two very different things. Experiencing defeat is inevitable, of course, but our response to that defeat is where the power lies and is crucial to preparing us for the next obstacle. So I encourage you to enjoy all the wisdom you gain from 2020 as we celebrate the new year, knowing that you are truly ready and out of training camp and ready to embrace, to conquer, to overcome whatever tomorrow brings in 2021. You can also follow my weekly trilogy series on LinkedIn at #BeRealWithBrian for more helpful tips on mental health, addiction, and general wellness. Thanks for joining us today and for your ongoing support. Again, you can follow us on LinkedIn at hashtag WayBeyondMeasure or individually by searching for Coach David Verdue. That's V as in victory, E-R-D-U. You can also contact us directly online at WayBeyondMeasure.com to book Coach Verdue for an upcoming event. His energy and message is absolutely next level. We look forward to spending time with you next week as we welcome our next featured SUSO ambassador and discuss topics guaranteed to push you way beyond measure. Keep the smile on your face. Stand up, stand out, stand your ground. Let them know that you will never stand out like